Tonight, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin with the first verse. Very easy to find. Amen. I'm going to read all the way through the 10th verse tonight. I'm going to read several verses, but amen. I deliberated on whether to start or stop somewhere, but I thought I'd read all 10 of them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Good to have you tonight again. Thank you for being here. Let me say we love you tonight. We truly do love and appreciate you. Thank you, amen, for the goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord of your spirit tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, all that is able to stand, please do so for the reading of this holy word tonight. Hallelujah. His word, hallelujah. It's my lifeline tonight. Praise God. Amen, amen. We're going to cast out a line tonight. Hallelujah. And hopefully, praise God, you take a hold of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, but God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he heareth of me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's give him some praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say you praise the Lord too much. You can praise the Lord. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 We bless you tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated tonight. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this thought, simply the value of the thorn. The value of the thorn. Look at your neighbor and say, the value of the thorn. Amen. It's interesting here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. The Apostle Paul is talking in the third person in the beginning of this chapter. He is talking, amen, and in the third person saying, I know a man, amen. I know a man who was above 14 years ago, who was called up into the third heaven. Now, the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. We know, amen, that we have, amen, the sky, the expanse, and then we have the second heaven, and then we have the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God. He goes on to say that this man that I know of, that above 14 years ago, or a little over 14 years ago, in his words, amen, he was taken up into paradise. Paradise, amen, is simply the word Gan Eden, amen, and it is literally translated as the Garden of Eden, amen. It is the place, amen, that is likened to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve, amen, and God dwelt in the beginning, amen, where there was no sin, and there was, everything was, amen, perfect, amen. So we understand that this Gan Eden, amen, this Garden of Eden, this paradise is the place, if we, if you will, that is uninhibited, a place where there's no interruptions. It is a sacred place, amen. It is a place where God dwells. And Paul said this man went up into paradise, and he was taken up into there, and he was given revelation. He said he was given, he heard unspeakable words. That's interesting, amen, that Paul said this, amen. He said he heard things that cannot be put into words, and that it would be unlawful for any human to try and say, to try and utter, to try to put into words, amen. And so he said he heard unspeakable words. He was given a revelation. And Paul said, about such a man, I will boast. He said, I will boast about such a man who was taken up into paradise, into this third heaven, who was given much revelation, but was trusted so much that he could not repeat it, or he could not utter it, amen, here on earth. Now, Paul said, whether the man was out of the body, I don't know. He said, but God knows. God knows whether the man was having an out-of-body experience or whether it was a vision. Are you with me? Amen. He said, about such a man, I would boast. But he said, about me or myself, amen, I will not boast. He said, I would not boast about myself. He said, except in regards to my weaknesses. Amen. The only thing that I will boast in is how weak I am, how frail I am. The only thing that I will boast about are my infirmities. In other words, the things that I cannot accomplish within myself. Are you with me? Amen. He said, but if I did want to boast, it really wouldn't be foolish, because I would be telling you the truth. Hallelujah. I like how Paul, amen, presented himself there. He said, if I did boast, I could. In other words, if I could put it in hillbilly terms, he said, I could boast if I wanted to, amen, and it would be the truth, and I wouldn't be foolish for doing it, because I would be telling you the truth. I would be, amen, I would be speaking the truth. He said, but I will abstain because of the extraordinary greatness of the revelations. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? He said, I will abstain from boasting because of the extraordinary greatness of the revelations. See, Paul was speaking in the third person, like he was talking about some other man, amen, that he knew that went up into the third heaven that told him these things. But what Paul was really doing was telling them about himself. He was the man that had went up into paradise, that had heard, amen, the unspeakable words in the Garden of Eden of God. In that place, amen, that is uninhabitable. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. That place where God was. He said, I will abstain from that, because if I begin to boast, then I would have to begin to tell you the things that I heard. Now, notice Paul didn't see anything. He didn't say anything about what he saw. Amen. He simply talked about what he heard. So we don't even know if Paul seen anything when he went into paradise. But he heard, hallelujah, he heard God speak revelation to him, things that no other human being had ever heard before. So much so that I believe that Paul was saying, I don't even know if I could put it into words and relate to you and explain what I heard. Paul said, but I have to abstain, because if I do, I might begin to try to tell you of that extraordinary great revelation, amen, that I have received. He said, so I don't want to do it because I don't know, want anyone to think, amen, more of me than what my words or my deeds warrant. I don't want you to think any more of me other than what I do say and what you see me do. Come on, somebody, hang with me. I'm going somewhere tonight. Hallelujah. I've never preached here in this context before. Hallelujah. He said, so that I wouldn't be exalted above measure, he said, I was given a thorn in my flesh, so that I would not be exalted above that which at level that I need to be. He said, a messenger of Satan was sent to me, and I was given a thorn in my flesh. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that I've never really paid attention to this before in this context until the Lord began to deal with me for this message tonight? But literally, Paul was given a thorn because he had been given so much revelation. Paul was given that thorn because he had been given. See, we think that God just decided that because of who Paul was, that he had to have that thorn, lest he be exalted above measure. But catch what Paul said. He said, if I would begin to boast, hallelujah, I believe if it were not for the thorn, that Paul would have boasted. I don't mean that he would necessarily be doing it in arrogance, but he would begin to reveal and begin to speak. Hallelujah. But because that he got so much revelation, hallelujah, there was a thorn given to him in the flesh. And I need you to grab hold of that tonight, because some of you are dealing with some thorns. Hallelujah. And you've sought the Lord, and you've asked the Lord to remove some things. You've asked the Lord for relief. But I've come tonight to tell you that there is more value in that thorn than what you understand. That the thorn is given because there is a place in the presence of the Lord that you have attained, or that you have desired to go. Hallelujah. And because of the revelation, and because of the hunger and the desire, that thorn has been given in your flesh. But I want you to know tonight that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, slap me three times, I'm going to say it again. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You don't have to excuse me, forgot my belt tonight. Got a man out the driveway, was running late, and thought, man, I forgot my belt. So I might be tugging and tucking, but I'm going to give you what the Lord has spoken to me. Because we need to know in this season that there is value in the thorn that you are experiencing. Oh, I feel it tonight. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, there's value in the thorn.
Value in the thorn.
Now that word thorn is translated, it literally means a point or a prickle. It is literally a point or a prickle. So if we can say it like this, it's at any point that causes pain or discomfort.
Well.
Now I want you to understand something tonight. Hallelujah. The thorns that I'm speaking about are not little thumbtack-sized thorns. Come on. I'm talking about, it's the difference in a tent stake, in the size of a tent stake, and a thumbtack. Are you with me? Hey, man, I'm talking about that difference. See, these aren't little thorns. Amen. These thorns have some length on them. Amen. And you begin to gouge these in your flesh, in your body. You're going to know it. You're going to feel it. Amen. And if it penetrates, amen, the flesh, it's going to begin to bring pain. Not only in the place, amen, that it was inserted, but it's going to begin to cause pain. Amen. In other places of your body. Hallelujah. So understand that I'm not talking about a thumbtack, amen, size thorn, but I'm talking about, amen, a thorn the size of a tent stake. And I'm going to sit that there, because if I put it here, I will slam it as sure as my name is what it is. And if I go to sit down, you better stop me and make sure I sit on seat 1, 3, 4 and not seat 2. Come on, somebody, do that. Hear me tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. A thorn in the flesh is a constant annoyance. It is that something that you wish would just go away, but it will not go away. It is that something that is constantly there, amen, but you cannot seem to get it, amen, to go away. Can I tell you that annoyance produces anointing? I said annoyance produces anointing. You say, I'm not sure, Pastor, what you're talking about. Hallelujah. See, it's like this. Amen. The thorns that are on a rose. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that that thorn is its best defense against herbivores, against the things that would destroy it, that would eat it? Amen. Those thorns are the roses' best defense. Amen. So the thorn is not for destruction, but the thorn is for protection. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? And I come to speak to somebody tonight that that thorn that is in your flesh, it is not being allowed there for destruction, but it is for your protection. Because that thorn is going to cause you to go back into the presence of God. That thorn is going to cause you to get back on your knees and begin to cry out to God. That thorn is going to cause you to lift your hands and give God praise when all hell has set itself against you and you don't have anywhere else to go. That thorn is going to protect you. I need somebody to help me in this place tonight. That thorn keeps your mind stayed on the Lord. Come on, some of you will get that. Amen. By next Thursday. But I said that thorn keeps your mind stayed on the Lord. See, because the beauty of the rose is in the bloom. It's not in the thorns, but it's in the bloom. But the bloom depends on the presence of the thorns.
Come on.
Because the thorns are the protection for the future or the harvest of the rose. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I said that thorn is for the protection. It is the best defense for that rose to assure, because when something goes to attack it, that thorn defends the rose. It defends the rose from the attack. Deer and rabbits will eat roses. They will eat the flowers of a rose. They might get one ate, but if they keep going, they're going to get sucked by a thorn. And more than likely, they're going to retreat. Come on, somebody. They're going to back off. So the livelihood and the promise of a full bloom, amen, and praise God, a harvest, if you will, is in, amen, the presence of that thorn. There are some pests that will eat the leaves of rose bushes. There's the leaf cutter bee. Amen. There's the rose slug sawfly. Amen. Amen. Snails and slugs will eat and devour the leaves. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want you to understand, hallelujah, amen, that the thorns protect the rose. The thorns are the defense, amen, against attacks from, amen, intruders. Amen. And so you got to understand tonight that this thing, this thorn, hallelujah, amen, these misunderstandings, these hardships, this pain, this disappointment, this temptation, this struggle that is seems to be there, annoying you, pricking you, stuck inside of you. Hallelujah. The enemy would love to destroy the promise of a blossom. He would love to destroy, amen, the promise of a harvest. He would love to destroy, amen, that rose. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. But it's that thorn that will protect, hallelujah, your harvest. Amen. See, nobody likes the thorns in our lives. Amen. Nobody likes the disappointment. Nobody likes the letdowns. Nobody likes the misunderstandings. Amen. And all of the struggles and the temptations that are there. But can I tell you that the hell that is in your life keeps you going back to the secret place? Come on, somebody. Now, a thorn, I'm not talking about somebody, amen, who doesn't have their mind made up. I'm talking about somebody who's not sure whether they're in this fight or not. I'm talking to those of you that have got your mind made up. You've done settled. I'm not going anywhere. But it sure would be nice if this thorn would just give me some relief. But if it does not do anything else, it'll send you back. When it becomes more than you are able to bear, it will send you back into the secret place, and it will cause you to begin to call out upon the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Whereas if it wasn't there, hallelujah, the chances that you would go as often and you would cry out, amen, in the magnitude that you do would not be very likely. Hallelujah. But it's that thorn that'll keep you coming back to the house of God when you don't feel like it. It'll keep you coming back, hallelujah, to give God praise. Hallelujah. When it don't seem like, amen, that it's working out, it'll cause you to go back to the Lord in prayer, to get on your face and cry out, God, I don't understand this, but I know that you are still in control. Your God. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you hear me?
Yes. Amen.
The thorn will cause you to praise when the circumstances are horrible.
Amen.
But the thorn is because you've been given revelation. There's no turning back. What I used to be. Come on, somebody. I'm not what I used to be. But I'm pressing on to be what He has called me to be, right? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Because you have received a revelation. You have been in the presence of the Lord. You have had an experience with the Lord. Amen. And maybe you have tried to walk away. Maybe you have tried to do your own thing. Maybe you have tried to manage life without so much of the presence of God. But you realize, amen, that this life is not worth living without Jesus at the center. Come on. Hallelujah. So you've made up your mind. Hallelujah. You've got this revelation now, and the enemy cannot get you to turn back. The enemy cannot get you to quit. The enemy needs to put that put the thoughts there. He's put the mindset there. He has brought things before you that warrant you to walk away from relationships, from the body, hallelujah, from all of these things, hallelujah. But you've got revelation. Can I tell you, when you get revelation, it is not easy to turn back and go where you were before you got revelation. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now that word revelation in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word hidgalut. Amen. And it literally means an unveiling. It is literally an uncovering or a disclosure through communication from God of something that has been partially or wholly hidden or unknown. Revelation transcends the human state and reaches into the divine intellect. Amen. Just like Paul said, I heard words that cannot be uttered. By law, they cannot be uttered. There is nothing, amen, that I can say that will bring that revelation. Hallelujah. But can I tell you, in order to handle the revelation, you've got to learn to handle the thorn. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Some of you are fasting and praying for your thorn to leave, but I come to tell you that there is a value in that thorn, that the thorn has a ministry, and that thorn is going to keep you humble before the Lord. It's going to keep you in that place where God is going to be exalted, and God is going to get the glory. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. You may not understand it, but God didn't ask you to understand it. He just asked you to receive it. Huh? Paul prayed three times for this to be removed. But can I tell you that this I prayed thrice. This context is a Hebrew thing. That doesn't mean that Paul necessarily prayed about it three times and then he quit praying. It means in its context that Paul prayed over and over and over for God to take this from me, this annoyance. Remove this thorn from my flesh. But God said, Jesus said, I love that it's in words of red in Amen and 2 Corinthians, even though Paul is repeating it, it's in words of red to reiterate Jesus said it.
Amen.
He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. See, thorns keep us walking in grace. Thorns keep us walking in grace to train us. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to teach you a little bit tonight. This is why Paul said, I learned to be content in every state that I find myself in. That state, the circumstances that Paul was placed in, literally means circumstances placed. I learned to be content in any circumstances that I'm placed in. Now, when you look at that word content and you read the translation here, it literally means to limit one's self in requirements. In other words, you have learned that you don't need as much as you think you do when you're in that state or those circumstances. You become low maintenance for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on. You know some folks who are high maintenance? I know some high maintenance people. Come on. Come on. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. But when you learn to be content, amen, when you learn to be content in whatever circumstances you are placed, you learn to limit yourself in what is required in order to be sustained. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? See, Paul was saying, when I was drowning in the water, I learned, amen, I didn't require a lot of things, but I learned to be content. When I was gasping for air and coming up, I learned to be content. I realized that I didn't require anything, amen, because the grace of God had brought me here, and the grace of God will get me through. And if it is not the will of God for me to come out, then His grace sustain me until I am with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. When Paul was beaten, he learned, amen, that every breath he took between the blows, he learned to be content. He learned to not complain. He learned to not be negative. He learned that it was not about him. Now, it didn't come automatic and it didn't come quick. But can I tell you the reason that the grace of God was in Paul's life in the measure that it was because of the thorn that was in his flesh. Because that thorn exposed him to levels of grace that he would have never been exposed to. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Had it not been for the thorn. Those long dark nights in the prison cells, Paul said, I learned to be content. I learned to not require a lot of attention. Huh? Come on. I learned to not require a lot of intervention. That didn't mean he didn't get intervention. Come on, somebody. Because the grace that he was walking in brings intervention.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? But you can't learn that unless you are pushed into those levels of grace. Come on, I'm talking about grace that goes beyond saved and amen and set free. I'm talking about the grace that will sustain you. Amen. When you are walking through hell, when you are out on the middle of the water and the storm is raging high and the boat is falling apart. Hallelujah. But God's got you there. Hallelujah. You're not going to require a lot, amen, of intervention. But that grace that you have learned to be content is going to protect you. It's going to provide for you. It's going to get you through. And when you get through, if you are wounded, if you are broken, coming out of the battle, that same grace that protected you, provided for you, and brought you through will bring you healing and strength and deliverance. Come on, somebody, do you understand me? That's how we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the value of the thorn. See, Paul said, I learned to fake myself happy.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. Got to.
Come on now. This real stuff. No making this up. It's not something that we can just cast off. Paul said, I've learned to fake myself happy. And see, that thorn helps me remember that I didn't deserve anything in the kingdom.
Well,
That thorn helps remind me that this is not about me. that this is not about my wants and my desires and my needs. You say that God will supply all of my needs. Right, but you've got to get in the grace that allows him to supply that need without your input. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? You've got to get in that place of grace that will allow him to bring you the riches of heaven, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And if it takes a thorn in the flesh to stay there to remind you, if it takes that constant annoyance, that struggle, that temptation, if it takes that thing that seems to be always nagging and eating at you and pricking at you, if it takes that to keep you reminded that this is not about you, but it is about the grace of God that is sufficient.
Amen.
That thorn helps me to remember I don't deserve any of the blessing.
Right.
Come on now, we're talking spiritually. We got to understand who we are, and that, see, that's when you get past all that. Because we all got thorns.
Right.
Don't think that I don't have thorns. Ain't nobody in here that ain't got a thorn.
Right.
Come on. After the Sunday service, I wrestled with my thorns. Come on, after any given mass deliverance service, I leave here and wrestle with my thorns. After experiencing the glory of the Lord, experiencing breakthrough, after a supernatural manifestation, after a divine encounter. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. I walk out and I deal with, or I wrestle with, the thorns. We all have thorns. Pull up verse 7 for me again, if you would, please. But Paul said, unless I am being exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. It's interesting because this word measure here is translated, and it literally is translated, and it means raise oneself over. I want you to think about that for a minute. I thought that was interesting because that means that the person is the one that does the raising over. Above measure, to raise one's self over. That means you put yourself at that level. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, how many's ever heard of the term the canon of Scripture? Amen. The canon of Scripture. It is the same concept. That word measure is the same concept as where we get the canon of Scripture. The canon is a rule of law to determine if a book is measured up to a standard. So in other words, the canon of Scripture is that every book that is put in the Bible, all 66 books that are in the Bible, have been measured up to a standard of God in order to be able to be considered the authority of God. Are you with me? That's the canon of Scripture. In other words, it has to stay within the measure that God has given. Amen. So unless, amen, because of the abundance of the revelations, if a thorn had not been given to Paul, he would raise himself above the standard that God had set for Paul to receive. Anything above that belongs to God and God only. He is the one that sets the standard. If I can say it like this, when we are born, amen, God puts a measure over our lives. It is called a destiny, but he puts a measure over our lives. We are meant to go above that measure. Amen. And those thorns are sent to remind us of our humanity, to remind us of our place in this release of glory, that to remind us that in the superabundance, that's what the Hebrew says, I love it, the superabundance of the revelations, amen, that we cannot get ourselves above the glory of those revelations because God has set a measure. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And so he set that thorn. He set that point. That point, amen, where that causes pain or discomfort. That tent-stake size thorn. He set that to remind me that this is as far as you go. Your gifts, your talents, your callings, your abilities can only go to this measure. The rest of it above that belongs to me. It is I that will get the glory. And I'm giving you that revelation so that you can walk in a deeper experience of grace. With me, I hope this is making sense to you. Thorns keep us on our knees. Some of you are thinking, oh my gosh, you mean to tell me that I've got to deal with this annoyance the rest of my walk? Probably so. I don't read where Paul got rid of it. He asked him, Jesus said, I don't know what your thorn is, but you see, because of the thorn, I can handle the blessing. See, some of y'all, if it wasn't for the thorn, you would squander the blessing. You would prostitute the glory. You would sell out the anointing. Come on. You would defile the measure. God said, that's as far as you go with it. Now, there's a lot of theology that's out there about what Paul's thorn was. The Bible doesn't tell us. Probably because that needs to be a thorn for us. Come on. Yeah? But the Bible doesn't tell us what Paul's thorn was. Now there's conclusions that have been theologically decided. There's nothing wrong with theology as long as it doesn't go above the measure of the glory of God. If it doesn't stay within the standards of what God has already called his word, there's no other books that have been authorized to be put in this set of books. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Not saying the other books are not true, but God has decided that this is the standard by which we live our lives. Some have said it was Paul's eyesight. You can see as Paul began to get older, his sight got dim, and he had to have people write for him. He would dictate, and they would write. He would be in those dark, dimly lit prisons by only a candle, and his eyesight wasn't the best. And so, some say that was his thorn. Now, think about that. If that was Paul's thorn, that would be a thorn, right? But what would that possibly look like to those that Paul preaches that Jesus is a healer? Right? Paul would be like, he can heal the blinded eyes. Come here, I can't see you. You know what I'm saying? You're telling me? Now I wear glasses, so you know, I'm not saying that there's anything theologically correct about that. I'm just telling you that it would be irritating and aggravating, to say the least. Some say that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a psychological struggle. Now think about this. Paul persecuted Christians. He put them to death. Then, after he got saved, he had to deal with the victims, survivors. He had to preach to the family members of the ones that he put to death. Talk about guilt and remorse. Imagine standing before Stephen's family and preaching about this glorious gospel. Knowing that you were the one that put Stephen to death. Are you with me? Amen? If I can say it like this, his past. So when others turned on him, did Paul feel like he deserved it? Did Paul feel like that he was deserving of the prison and the beatings? And I don't know. We just don't know. And then there's also the thought that Paul's thorn was the temptation to be exalted or to allow people's words to elevate him. Because you know, people, man, Paul,
yeah.
I've never heard anybody talk like that before. Man, you're the preacher of preachers, Paul. Man, you're the best preacher that we've had in the church. Come on. Man, Paul, your wisdom exceeds the wisdom of any other man that I know. You know the law so well, Paul. You brought us such revelation here, Paul. Be easy. Lord, imagine if social media was around. Come on. I'm just being real with you. Right? Man. Evangelist Paul preached tonight. The fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. Hashtag Paul Revival.
Amen.
Tagging old Paul. Paul waking up to all of those likes and those tags and all of those, man, come
followers,
on somebody.
Man, all those followers.
But whatever it was, that thorn was there to remind Paul, it ain't anything about you, Paul.
Yep.
It's not anything that you've done. But it's all because of me. And then Paul get to the place where, man, that thorn just became so almost unbearable. You know, it's getting old, God. But I don't feel like that. That thorn, man, how many years now? Has this been poking me? Come on. But that thorn reminds us that there's grace that hasn't been tapped into yet. And that grace that is there is sufficient. Can I tell you what sufficient means? It means that it satisfies the present need. And that's all you need. See, you become content because you realize that it's in that moment that being sustained is all you need. It's sufficient for you, Paul. But see, with the thorn, There was also a messenger of Satan. Now, we would call that a demon. An angel of Satan. If that makes you feel more fluffy than the Muslim. In case you don't know what an angel of Satan is, it's a demon.
Right.
So there was a messenger. So not only did Paul have this thorn in the flesh, which hurts, but I wanted to, just so you know that it's real. Not only did he have this annoyance, but when that thorn, the pain, and the annoyance, and the aggravation, and the frustration, and the temptation from that thorn would come, then this messenger of Satan would buffet him. Now, here's what you got to understand, what the word buffet means. It's not buffet. Get out of your flesh. I don't think those are from hell anyway. Help me. But that word buffet means to strike or punch with the fist. But not just strike and punch with the fist, but do so until it pierces or crushes. That word crushes, bruise. So it would be like, it would be like, Sam was like, I thought he was going to come get me. But it would be like, until the blood breaks and the vessels burst and there's bruising, until it pierces, it wouldn't be just like, you get it, but it would be a constant pounding of a fist, punch after punch after punch after punch, on top of the thorn being piercing and dealing with that. On top of all that, he was sent, amen, that messenger of Satan to buffet him, to punch him again and again and again until it would bruise his flesh. And then when he would go, amen, come on somebody, when he might go to, amen, rise up from a seat, amen, to say something, amen, or to exalt himself as he would rise up, hallelujah, that bruise, oh, and he would be reminded, it's not about me, but it's about him. And that grace was sufficient to satisfy the present need. And here's, I got the thinking today about the parable of the seed and the sower and the ground and what happens when amen, there's thorns in the ground. The thorns choke the word. The thorns choke the seed. And see, Satan will use the thorn to defeat you and make you bitter if you're not careful and you don't value the ministry of that thorn in your life. He will literally use that thorn to choke the blessing, to choke the favor, all while you're being poked and pierced and punched at the same time. Are you understanding me tonight? Is this making sense? I've never preached in the context of this before. But can I tell you, the thorn isn't going anywhere.
Come on.
That's the moral of the story. You can pray till you puke. It ain't leaving. Come on. If you've been given any kind of revelation, Look at you, Mary, say the thorn's not going anywhere.
The thorn's not going anywhere.
The thorn is not going anywhere. The thorn is not leaving. So if the thorn isn't going anywhere, here's your choices. You can allow that thorn to lead you into grace, or you can use it as an excuse to go backwards and get bitter.
Come on.
Those are two choices.
Yep.
You can either use it to let it lead you into grace, or as an excuse to go backwards and become bitter. Paul prayed over and over and over for it to leave. Now remember, Paul didn't see. We don't get the picture that Paul saw anything in paradise. It's what he heard. See, you got to know the truth. You've got to cancel all of the negativity that comes in here and quit letting it come out of here. Oh, come on, somebody. I said you've got to stop the negativity. Can I tell you that negative is not about circumstances? It's a state of mind. Because some folks, even if nothing was going wrong, when negative is a state of mind, they will find something to complain about. They will find something. They could be driving in a brand new car with all the bells and whistles and find something negative about it. Come on, are you with me? That's a state of mind. You can't blame your circumstances, come on somebody, hallelujah, for the state of your mind. You can't blame your circumstances, because Paul said, I learned that whatever my circumstances are, I think myself happy. I think myself with joy. Come on somebody, do you hear me? I learned to be content, that all I need is grace in that moment. And it is enough for that present need. I thought about the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. Of course,
ouch. Oh.
Why?
Reminds me. The crown of thorns that Jesus wore on his head. And I thought about how the Bible says that he endured the cross that was before him with joy. And I thought about how the crown or the thorns remind us that it isn't about us. And that we have to keep our mind in a state. We have to think ourselves happy.
Yep. Come on.
Right? So the crown of thorns on Jesus' head, just go there with me, kept his mind stayed on joy. Reminded him, amen, that this was, that God's grace was sufficient for that very moment. Amen. That his mind was set on the cross and the redemption. Amen. And the fulfillment of the covenant and all that God was doing through his sacrifice. Amen. Praise God. And then I got to thinking, hallelujah. Praise God. That as Jesus was on the cross and he gave up the ghost, the Bible says that he gave up the ghost and his spirit left his body. His spirit left his body, but the thorns stayed. You cannot let the thorns get into your spirit.
Come on.
They're sent for your flesh.
Come on.
They're sent for your flesh, and you've got to be careful not to let them get in your spirit. They are sent to keep the flesh under subjection to grace. They're not sent to make your spirit bitter.
Come on.
Are you hearing me? Don't let them get in your spirit, but let them be in the flesh, because his grace is sufficient.
Absolutely.
Now, I know I've talked about this before, but it warrants me leaving you with this tonight. The Hebrew word for grace is the word hen, and it's spelled the way it sounds, H-E-N. Actually, there's a double H there, so it looks like hen, but it's hen. We know that grace in its context is unmerited favor, right? Mm-hmm. It's us getting what we didn't deserve. Mercy is saving us from what we deserve. Grace releases unto us what we don't deserve. Right? It's that unmerited favor. But in the Hebrew, it's interesting in the word for grace, that word hen in the Hebrew, the verb of one of the, it has a double verb, if I can say it like that to make the most sense, but it comes from a verb that means to come. Here's what you got to understand about the camps of the Hebrews. They weren't set up like most other camps. When the Hebrews would set up their tents in a camp, they would set them up, if I can say it like this, in a circle, and they would enclose the camp so that the outside of the camp was separated from the inside of the camp. A camp would be making a wall so that what was on the inside, so there would be no gap. So if you would look down upon a Hebrew camp, it would look, every tent would be right next to each other and in a circle, and it would be making a wall so that what was happening outside of the camp did not affect the inside of the camp. That's grace. Part of it. Amen. So when we are in the grace of God, and we understand that it's more than just unmerited favor, it's more than just keeping us from being crucified because of our sin and saving us from hell, but it is literally protecting us from what's going on the outside to keep it from getting on the inside, that where grace, amen, has camped. Are you understanding that? Amen. So no matter what's going on out here, you can be content, amen, in the camp, because this grace separates you, the outside from the inside. On the inside is the covenant, is the favor, is the mercy, is the healing, is everything that the covenant and the grace of God offers. It's salvation, it's repentance, it's getting back up, amen. It's mercy, hallelujah, it's healing, it's all on the inside. So this is how Paul could learn that no matter what the circumstances were, he had learned that in the grace of God, he was more than just saved, sanctified, and on his way to heaven, but grace protected him. That grace was sufficient to keep him. That when that amen, the enemy would come to try and to destroy the rose, that the thorn would be there. Amen, as a defense. Amen, that would keep Paul on the inside of the camp. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. And that second verb, amen, is where we get the favor. It means gracious. It means mercy. So that's where you get the mercy. Amen. So it is a literally relief from stress. It is healing. It is vindication. And it is strength. Amen. So when you learn that in the moment, you see that thorn takes you into that, amen, level of grace. It takes you into that untapped grace. Hallelujah, on the inside of a camp. Hallelujah, there's a lot of people, amen, on the outside of the camp. But when you get on the inside of the camp, hallelujah, that's when you get into that vindication and that favor and that healing and that protection, amen, and that sustaining power, amen, that place that it's there for the moment, that you don't need, you're not required, nothing else is required. You don't need any special attention. You don't need a 24-hour prayer service. You don't need to get a hold of anybody. Not that that's not important, and not that that's not, amen, necessary, but my point is, amen, that there comes a time that you can be in the grace of God when you learn the value of the thorn. And if it hadn't been for the thorn, you would have never entered into that place of grace. You would have never tapped into it. You may have never prayed that extra 10 minutes. You may not have fasted that extra day. You may not have showed up for church on that day when you felt like everything was falling apart. But because the thorn brought you to that place of grace, you've now learned, hallelujah, that when hell is breaking loose, there ain't a devil, an angel, height nor depth, principality, night, day, power, church, hurt. Nothing is able to separate me from the love of God, because his grace is sufficient. That's the value of the thorn tonight. Hallelujah. It is to put you in that place of grace. And it's because of the revelation, the unveiling. So the hell that some of you are going through, that thorn, it's been there to put you inside the camp, to enclose you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The enemy, maybe it's your past. I don't know what your form is tonight, but I know that the Lord spoke to me. I was going to preach on in our book of Exodus tonight. That's what I had planned. So my mind was set. It's like a 100-pound weight lifted when you have direction for a message. And then God said, nope, that's not what I want you to preach. And speak to me about the value of the thorn. I said I've never preached in this context before, out of this. And I've never looked at it from the perspective that the thorn came because Paul received revelation. Changes the whole scope for me. Helps it make sense. Helps it be okay. Helps it be beneficial. Because I know it's protecting the revelation. It's guarding my heart, lest I be exalted and become arrogant and overconfident and self-righteous. We're seeing it in the body, in the church culture. I'm telling you, God's exposing.
Yeah,
he is. About 3 years ago now, that God was going to begin to expose, and he's doing it. And in a lot of levels, in a lot of capacities. I don't want to be a reason that he needs to expose.
Amen. Right.
So I want to appreciate the value. And there's a ministry in this because it's taken me into a deeper level of grace to say, come to the music of permission. Put that back. I'm ready. I don't want to be a cause of your thorn. Stand with me across this place tonight. Listen, we're living in unprecedented times. Can I be honest with you that this time of year is a heavy season for me. It has been all of my life. I dislike the transition from winter to spring. Everybody is all giddy about the spring and the sun and all that. I hate it.
You must like winter.
It's weird.
I'm just going to be honest with you. Not because I'm mean or ugly. It's a heavy season for me. It's become a form. And I realize that. And there's things that I have to wrestle and fight this time of year. And then on top of that, Lord decides to allow my mom to pass away in early May, right in just the best season. Right?
Yeah.
So you got to prepare yourself. Right? You can prepare yourself for what you know is coming. You don't want to wait till the day before to try to not let grief and sorrow and things overwhelm you. You got to be prepared for that. You know that anniversary is coming. Come on. So prepare yourself for that. God's grace is sufficient. So I'm just being transparent. I didn't share that with a lot of people, but this time of year is a heavy season for me. So I struggle. And it's become a thorn for me. But it puts me in a place of grace that I wouldn't be in if it wasn't for the thorn. And I realize that now. I hadn't always realized that. But I'm thankful for the value of the thorn. And the bruises that are there when I get in the secret place. When I get on my knees. That pain from that thorn. So I revelation has brought before. So tonight, I don't know what your thorn is, but I know that the Lord spoke this to me today and to bring tonight. But God wants you to know that there's value in the thorn. But that disappointment, that pain, has been brought because of the revelation. If you start to take inventory and go back, and I'm telling you, man, we're in some times. I'm not gonna go into a lot of things, but we got some signs and some things that are happening around us. There's some signs in the heavens, things that are coming, some things that are transpiring, but are not coincidental. That things are taking place, that are happening, coinciding with God's spiritual calendar, and things taking place in Israel that's about to be released. And man, let me tell you something. Listen, they're about to celebrate the red heifer. The red heifer that was prophesied in the scripture. They got him from Texas, I believe. And they have that red heifer, and they're about to celebrate. They built the ramp, and there was a priest, a man dressed in white garment, that crossed the ramp the other day. Amen. They're getting ready to celebrate the red heifer, because the red heifer is the beginning of the rebuilding of the tent. They had the furniture and everything ready for the temple for a long time. So that's all going to happen. And if my memory serves me right, that's happening next month. That's supposed to happen in April. March, right? This is by April. Guess what day? If my memory serves me right, it falls on. Yes. He's celebrating all of those things. You cannot. It's not for us to look at each other.
Come on.
It's the divine hand of God. It's God. It's God. It's God orchestrating. And I don't want to get off on all of that, but I'm just saying, God's got grace to sustain us. And I said that to say this, and I don't know what we're going to go through. I don't know what we're going to experience before we're called out of here, before that trumpet sounds and we're raptured out of here. I don't know the magnitude of the tribulation that is going to be upon us, but we've got to be in sufficient grace. God's wanting us to be there tonight. So tonight in this place, first, if you're lost and you don't know Jesus, you're why we're here. You're the Great Commission tonight. Amen. And your salvation trumps everything. You finding Jesus supersedes anything else right at this moment. And we want you to find Jesus. We want you to find Jesus. So if you don't know him tonight, if you're not saved, I want you to make the decision and come. But if you're in here tonight and you're saved, man, Pastor, I get it. This thorn. And you now see, you get revelation that there's value in this thorn, and you start praying for God to remove it. Man, the enemy, it's going to take you to another dimension of supernatural, because now it's another place that the enemy can't pull you from. So that's you tonight. You say, I want to be strengthened. I'm ready. I see it. You want us to pray with you. We want you to come as they begin to worship. Come on. If you need to leave, we understand. But if we want you to come, we want to pray with you tonight. The value of the thorn. The value of the thorn.